Just thank for this time. We thank you for this retreat, Lord, and how you are the master planner. You know, we make plans, you laugh, and then you tell us what the plan is. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we thank you for being the master planner, and Lord, and we just thank you for giving us a desire to be under your plan. Lord, I ask that you would touch Jamie Lee. I ask that you would go into the hospital room, Lord, and do what is in your divine nature to do. And Lord, I ask that you would just bring peace throughout that family, Lord, and use this time, Lord, to show your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, I ask that you would just touch Daniel. I lift him up before you, Lord. I lift up him. I lift up his mom. Lord, you know everything that's going on there, Lord.
Yes.
You already know the outcome. Help us to trust you for the outcome. Help us to look to you so the outcome would come as you have planned it. Lord, we ask that you would give Daniel peace in his life, Lord. And we ask that you would bless him to look for you and to reach for you in his life, Lord. And continue to help his mother to trust you with him. In Jesus' name we thank you.
Amen.
Now, these are my glasses that match everything. For now we see in a mirror dimly, and Corinthians 13:2. But my title of this workshop is Seeing Jesus in the Darkness. Our scripture is going to be coming from 2 Kings. And I am going to have to switch glasses because this page, for whatever reason, is not very large for me. 2 Kings 6, chapter 6, verses 8 through 17, and Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. And before we go to the word, I just want to look at the word darkness. I had said earlier this morning, I was like, darkness in this case is not referring to something evil or the work of the devil, but it's referring to our circumstances. See, darkness can be defined as the polar opposite to brightness. Darkness is understood to be the absence of visible light. And I want you all to just keep in your mind visible light, because we're going to talk about that just at the end. We'll say something about visible light. And then darkness is also the appearance of black, it is also the appearance of black in colored space. And that kind of sounds a little crazy, but as humans, we're unable to distinguish. If we're in a really brightly lit room, we can't see color. If we're in a really dark room, we can't see color. And so that's why it says it's the appearance of black in color, because it's not overshadowing or just overwhelming, but it is just the appearance. And so darkness can't be distinguished, like I said, if it's either really bright or really dark. Whichever one is predominant, we can't see it. But darkness, as we look at it today in relationship to our topic, will not represent evil, as I said a few times, but instead it will be known as the uncertainties that we face in life. The theme scripture says, dimly, as it relates to the mirror. King James Version uses the word darkly instead of dimly, and it simply means distortion or something that is unclear. In the city of Corinth, it was known for its mirrors during this time period that the scripture was written. The mirrors were made out of metals, and they were polished. So if it was a dull metal or something that looked like this, there was nothing that would really reflect. It would really be distorted, because that darkly, if you translate that from the original language to our language today, it just means distortion. It doesn't mean light or dark. It just means distorted. You can't really see what you're trying to reflect. And we're in the reflection room, ladies. And so the metals did not give you a clear picture. And it kind of puts me in mind, and I'm probably aging myself, but you know when you would go to the little carnivals or they had the fun houses and they had the mirrors, and you could stand in front of a mirror and you could be really tall or you could be really fat, or you really may be tall or you may really be. But anyway, it would be distorted, you know, and it would be distorted whether you saw it as distorted or it was actually distorted, because the metal did not give you a reflection as mirrors that we see today. Because mirrors that we look in today, you probably see a better reflection than what you would have during the time the scripture was written. So we'll go with darkness being a reflection of our circumstances distorted. This can happen to us both spiritually as well as naturally. Which reminds me of this story, and I can go back to my glasses that I don't have to have really lenses in. One dark, windy night, the town drunk was meandering his way home after the bar had closed. Somehow he got turned around and ended up walking through the churchyard instead of the road home. The wind picked up and he thought he could hear a voice calling his name. Suddenly the ground opened up right before him, and down he fell, down, down, down into an open grave. He could hear the voice clearer now, calling him. And he knew it was the devil, just like the preacher said, all because he was a town drunk. The hole was very deep, and inside it was pitch black. His eyes adjusted to the darkness after a few moments, and he made out a form sitting in the darkness with him. It called his name once again. He scrambled away from the form with fear, trying to climb out of the terrible grave. Then the figure spoke. "You can't get out. You can't get out." The drunk gave a shout of pure terror and leaped straight up more than 6 feet. He caught the edge of the hole with his hands and he scrambled out and he ran home as fast as he could. And inside the open grave, his neighbor Charlie sighed in resignation. See, Charlie had fallen into the hole too, just minutes before his friend. And Charlie thought if he could just work together, they would both get a hole. But now he would have to stay there all night and wait for the mortician to bring him a ladder. So darkness can be distorted. It can distort your circumstances. You can think it's the devil and it's not. You can think you're in hell and you're just in an open grave. Or you could just be drunk. So today we're going to look at what happens in our darkness. What happens when we are in darkness, and seeing Jesus in the darkness. Because if we see Jesus in our darkness, we'll change. So let's go to the Word of God. The version that I'm reading from is God's Word. And it's a new one for me, but I rather liked it when I read this passage in it. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, beginning at verse 8 through 17. Whenever the king of Aram was fighting against Israel, he asked for advice from his officers about where they were to camp. So the man of God would send a message to the king of Israel. "Be careful not to go by that place. The Arameans are hiding there." Then the king of Israel would send someone to that place that the man of God told him about. Elisha warned them so that they would be on their guard. And he did this repeatedly. And I like what it says in the King James. It says, and this didn't happen just once. You know, it's something that happened over and over. The king of Aram was very angry about this. He called his officers and asked them, "Won't you tell me who among us is a spy for the king of Israel?" And one of his officers answered, "No one, your majesty. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you say in your bedroom." And when I read that passage, it's like, you don't have any secrets, King. It's basically, you don't have any secrets. He knows everything. His God is telling him everything. And so the king said, "Find out where he is. Then I will send men to capture him." the king was told. He's in Dothan. So the king sent horses and chariots and a large fighting unit. They came at night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up in the morning and went outside, he saw troops, horses, and chariots surrounding the city. Elisha's servant asked, "Master, what should we do?" Elisha answered, "Don't be afraid. We have more forces on our side than they have on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open up his eyes so that he may see." The Lord opened the servant's eyes and let him see. The mountain around Elisha was full of fiery horses and chariots. And you may say, well, God answered him so quickly. My circumstances or my darkness hasn't changed. I've prayed. I've been waiting on God, but it's nothing changed for me. Well, sometimes the answer doesn't come quickly, and we don't understand, but that's when we have to trust and wait on God. Because our time frame is not God's time frame. You know, we care about time, but time doesn't move God because God is in control. So let's look at the other scripture that I gave you. That's Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. Thanks for closing the door. In the crowd was a woman who had been suffering from chronic bleeding for 12 years. Although she had been under the care of many doctors and had spent all her money, she had not been helped at all. Actually, she had become worse. Since she had heard about Jesus, she came from behind in the crowd and touched his clothes. She said, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll get well." Her bleeding stopped immediately. She felt cured from her illness. At that moment, Jesus felt power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "How can you ask who touched me when you see the crowd pressing you on all sides?" But he kept looking around to see the woman who had done this. The woman trembled with fear. She knew what had happened to her. So she quickly bowed in front of him and told him the whole truth. Jesus told her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be cured from your illness." In this very instant, she had done the unthinkable. And the reason I say it was the unthinkable is because she was unclean. She had an issue of blood. During that time, a person with an issue of blood was not even supposed to be among the general population, let alone in a crowd and reaching out to touch Jesus. But she was determined. So she did the unthinkable because she desired to see things change in her life. She was desperate for change. So, what is darkness? I said earlier that it was a reflection of our circumstances distorted. Mm-hmm. Reflect on your life. Think about the circumstances in your life that have gotten to you, that you're like, "Lord, how long? How long must I be here? How long is this situation not going to change? How long is this set of circumstances going to remain the same in my life?" Has anybody been there? Mm-hmm. I think we all have been there at some point in our life where we had to do that. I think about how there have been times in my own life when I've looked at, what is God doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, why me? Why can't things be different now? How long do I have to suffer this, Lord? But he doesn't look for us to say, "How long?" Mm-hmm. He don't care about that. Mm-hmm. Because, see, the whole thing is he's looking to change me and my circumstances. And it's so funny because Pastor Brian, you know, he's just all over my message and me, you know. And the thing is God wants us to be usable. And, you know, he saves us, but he still has to get us usable. And some of us are instantly ready to be used. But then he may have another job for you, and it requires a different you. And the you that it requires has to go through these circumstances. And we have to be the ones to actually change. And we need our darkness. We want our darkness to change. We want our circumstances to change. But basically, when we really get down to the nitty-gritty, it's not going to be the circumstances. So what should we do in darkness? Verse 15, the servant went outside. He saw the troops, the horses, and the chariots surrounding the city. His life circumstances changed immediately. They were the ones who were sending out the people away from danger. Now, the very danger he had been saving Israel from, he and Elisha had been going around telling the Israelites where to go. Don't go there. Don't go there. Now, how come God did? How come? Now, you know you guys do this. Now, God, he gave blind sight. He raised the dead. How come he got me? How come he allowed me to be in this situation? You know we do that. You know we do. So the servant, the first that he said, which I really liked, I really like this when I read this story. He didn't panic. He probably had a little trembling in his voice just because he said, don't be afraid. So maybe there's a little trembling. You know, he might have grabbed his arm, but he didn't start running around in a circle and just really tripping out over the situation. And he said, what must we do? Master, what must we do? And he said, don't be afraid. There's more with us than there are against. There's more of us. There's more. Well, maybe I don't have it written down here. Anyway, the ones that are with us are more than the ones that are against us. Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I need to say. So basically, whatever you're going through, if you are a child of God, whoever is against you, it's not enough, because there's more with you than there is against you. You know, I don't know. You know, I had told the story earlier, but you know, how many of you have seen Gone with the Wind? Now, you know, one of my favorite scenes is probably some of your favorite scenes. I have a lot of favorite scenes in that movie, but you know, Prissy, she was going to help that baby come, you know? And so she's like, I know what to do. You know, she's just telling her everything she's going to do. But time, when that baby came, when it was time to give birth, all of a sudden, she saw all that was against her. Number one, she had been walking with her mom, talking with her mom. She saw her mom deliver babies, but she didn't know nothing about birthing babies. And sometimes that's what we do. We know Christians. We hang around Christians. We see some of them go through. So we think we could. How many times have you seen somebody go through something and you got little choice words? Oh, I would never do that. I wouldn't do it that way. Blah, 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 blah. They should do this. But then now you're in a similar situation. And you don't know nothing about birthing no babies. For those of you who have seen Gone with the Wind, you know she didn't know anything. And what did Scarlett do? She slapped her senseless. You know, she didn't have time for that. And so sometimes that's what God has to do with us, because we think we know. And so all of a sudden, our circumstances change. And we have to be slapped senseless so that we can really see how to handle that situation. I don't know about you, but being slapped senseless, you know, it's not good. Sometimes you need senseless. You need to let go of what you think you know, so that you can hold on or grab a hold to what God has for you. And in this case, immediately, like I said, the servant did not panic. You know, he may have been a little, but it still was not that kind of fear that he had to be shaken like Prissy. Let's go. I mean, but when we get in those situations, that's what we want to do. What do you mean? What do you mean, Lord? Why am I here? But I've done this. has you in a new place. And sometimes we want that darkness to just be light. Mm-hmm. But sometimes he just wants us to trust him. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Elisha said. He said, you know, look, and he told him first. And he didn't say, because, I mean, just imagine, what if we walk out here right now and all of a sudden our country is surrounded and just whatever reason they decided to come to Calvary Chapel Conference Center and we have to deal with it. I mean, what would you guys do? Would you try to run for shelter? Would you pray first? Would you think it was a good time to pray? You're surrounded with troops, horses. They're armed. You know that they're not going to kill them because basically the king said, I want to capture them. He didn't say, I want to kill them. But they don't know. Well, maybe they did know. Elisha knew, but the servant didn't know because if he knew, he wouldn't have even said, what do we do? What should we do? You see, sometimes you need to seek your spiritual leader. Because in this case, his master had a spiritual insight. And then he prayed. He said, open up his eyes, Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we have to pray. We have to ask God, what am I to do in this situation? Mm-hmm. I don't care if you've baked a cake 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. If you get divine inspiration from God to bake the same cake you've baked 1,000 times, mm-hmm. well, who should you seek on that 1,001 time? Mm-hmm. The recipe or God? And you're like, I have this. I don't need to thank God for that. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many things do you cook that you don't even use a recipe for anymore? You've been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. Then when someone says, I need that recipe, and you go, oh, I don't even have a recipe. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you what I do. And see, that's what God wants us to do. No, baby, you don't have a recipe. I just want you to do what I tell you to do. Mm-hmm. See, in the darkness, we will have questions. In the darkness, we may become fearful. In the darkness, we must pray. And when we do, we will see Jesus. He'll be right there. And I think it's fair to say when we look at the woman with the issue of blood, her circumstances were dark. And she had issues. You guys are bad as the last crowd. She had issue of blood. She had issues. I shouldn't use that anymore because I didn't get a laugh twice. We can call her issue of blood darkness. But we could call her issues. I mean, when you really think about it, she went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. And she spent all of her money. No doctors gave her a refund. They didn't say, we can't help you. You've paid. They were practicing way back then. Because there's no guarantee that whatever they tell you is going to work. And, you know, I think back to my second pregnancy. I had an ectopic pregnancy. I didn't know it was an ectopic pregnancy. My tube actually burst at my when I found out. But I'm not like a really emotional person, but I have my moments. We all do. And then now I'm over 50, so I really have my moments. I have not went through the change, but I'm like walking up the hill. And so, you know, so I know that my body is changing. So I do understand that. But during this time, I had a conversation with a young lady, and I was talking to her. Then all of a sudden, I'm just like in tears, and I could feel the tears. I didn't go to tears because I'm just not, you know, never let them see you cry. And certainly don't let them see you cry when there's nothing wrong, you know. And so I'm talking to her, and I hear this quiver in my voice. And so then I just stopped talking, and I said, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me. I said, this is not like me. And if someone I worked with, I said, this is not like me. I don't know what's going on. And so I told my husband, this is when we were doing Amway. And I told my husband, I said, I probably should go to the doctor. I said, I hadn't missed a cycle. I hadn't missed my cycle, but I was just off. It was just weird. And I'm usually pretty in tune to my body, which is a good thing. And so we went to the doctor, and for whatever reason, I don't know what I said that made them think they should do a pregnancy test, because they did ask me my last cycle, but it hadn't been long enough for me to have missed one. because I think I was probably like a couple weeks pregnant, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I said, I don't know what it is. So, of course, he did the test. They said that I was pregnant. But then for whatever reason, they wanted to do ultrasound right then. And I'm like, you heard me say a couple weeks, right? So I'm like, Lord, why? You know, but, okay, so I said, okay. I said, you know, how long is this going to take? You know, because they did the ultrasound, then they didn't see anything. So then they wanted me to go and get blood tests done. And they wanted me to wait for them. And they said it was going to take, like, hours. And I was like, I don't have time for that. I said, I have a meeting tonight. I have, you know, I got to take my son to the babysitter because I have a 9-month-old. And so I had all, you know, I'm always about what I have to do. And so I just didn't have time for him or for them to do all of that. So I ended up going, I ended up letting them take the blood. They wanted me to come back. And I'm like, come back? I said, why do I need to come back? Are you just going to tell me the results? You already said I'm mm-hmm. pregnant. And then they said, well, you know, your whatever, HCG, whatever, something to start with an H. It wasn't high enough. And they couldn't figure out how, and they couldn't see a baby. When they looked, they couldn't see anything. And then the doctor said, but you're so early in your pregnancy, it's probably not big enough to see. And so I'm like, okay, so that works for me. So I said, but okay, can I just call you back for the results? No, you have to come back. So I ended up like, I don't know if you guys, if you know LA area, the doctor that I was at was in Harbor City. My mom lived in DeWardy. Oh. And I needed to go from, and it was already the afternoon, and I needed to go from the hospital to the Harbor City to go to DeWardy to take the baby. And they wanted me to come back, and I think the meeting that we had that night was either in Inglewood or Anaheim, I don't know. But I had to get to that meeting because we were building our business. And so I did all of that. And I think they told me just come back on another week to see, because they wanted to make sure that the levels were going up and blah, blah, blah. Well, that was on Friday. On Monday, I woke up and I was in pain. Mm-hmm. Never had cramps before, so they were, when I called to get an appointment, they said, well, do you have cramps? I said, I don't know. I never had cramps before. What do you mean you never had? People who work in the medical field. I'm sorry, people who work in the medical field. People who worked in the medical field. I'm like, I've never had cramps before. I don't know if what I'm experiencing is cramps. It's pain. That's what I know it is. Well, does it feel like when you had your last baby? Well, I didn't really have any pain when I had my last baby. I don't really, you know. And so it was just like kind of this. So they this was at 9. At 11 o'clock, they hadn't called me back. I called them back, and they said, oh, well, we can't see you to 3:30. I said, 3:30? I said, you can come to our emergency. And this was in Bellflower. And I was like, I got off the phone. I said, honey, we're not going to Bellflower. We're going to Harbor City. I said, because there are some really, I don't want to say what I said. I was not happy with that. And I was like, I'm not going over there because they couldn't even answer me. So we go get in the car. Now, what my husband had told me, I know I felt faint, but I didn't think it was anything bad. I just was in a little pain. But he said I had lost all color, that I had pretty much turned white. Now, I'm not like black, but, you know, I'm black enough that white is far from me. And so we went. We stopped in, we lived in Cerritos, we stopped in Long Beach. We don't know that David is dying. We stopped in Long Beach, drop my son off, and head on to the hospital. By the time we get to the hospital, though, I couldn't even walk. I think he might have carried me in. And I remember him, like, putting me in the chairs. And then he goes to the window and he tells the lady, I need somebody to see my wife. She's I don't know what he said, but he was letting them know it was an emergency. And they were like, well, fill out this paperwork. And I just remember him, he tapped real hard and said, my wife needs you now. And so, of course, they came and saw that. I guess I must have looking white. So they took me in the back. I don't know when my clothes came off. I know he, you know, my thing was I never wanted to have surgery. I never wanted to be cut on. I figured when I had children, they were going in, they were going to come out the way they went in. Nothing else. I never wanted anything, no surgery. And so this is something my husband and I had discussed. We had discussed no surgery. And he knew I didn't like needles. So this guy is trying to give me an IV. He can't find a vein. And somewhere my husband told him about this needle thing. So the guy bends down. He tells me, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I can't find a vein, and I'm gonna have to use the biggest needle I have." No. But I didn't even. I mean, I didn't even care because it's like it's like I'm just half unconscious. Mm-hmm. And so then the doctor comes and he presses my stomach, and it was so painful. And so then I'm looking at the doctor, and I'm looking at my husband, and I see my husband say, "Do you have to operate her? She never wanted to be operated." And the inside of my head, I'm kind of laughing because I'm like, "Baby, you know that's kind of gonna go out the window because I know something's going on." But it's just, you know, I saw tears in his eyes, so I knew it was serious. And then I heard the doctor say, "She's dying. This shouldn't hurt her." And so they whisked me off to emergency surgery, and now I'm with the anesthesiologist, and he's put this, you know, mask over my face and count from 10 backwards, and you're going to get sleepy. And all I'm thinking is, I just don't want them to operate while I'm awake. And so I'm 10, 9, 8, and I slapped that thing off my face. I said, "I'm not sleepy." Oh. But it was kind of like, "I'm not sleepy." And so the thing that really got me was that I asked the Lord, why did he allow me to go through that? Because, you know, all that time when I was trying to go to the Amway meeting, I don't even remember the results. I don't know if we brought in 10 or what. I don't know what. But my whole thing was, I was rebuking the devil. I was saying, you know, "Satan, you're a liar. I'm not. There's nothing wrong with this pregnancy. Everything's fine." And, you know, because I wouldn't even listen to whatever God had to say to me. Mm-hmm. And so when it was all over, the doctor came in. He goes, "You are so lucky, Mrs. Young." Mm-hmm. I said, "I am so blessed." Mm-hmm. Because even at that point, until that point right then, even though the doctor didn't register when I was kind of in and out, it didn't register how serious it was. But at the point the doctor came in, he goes, "You had over 2 liters of blood in your stomach." He said, "Most women would have died." He said, and then where the tube burst, it was right where the fallopian tube and the uterus connect. So they didn't have to repair the fallopian tube. They didn't have to sew it back together. It just healed naturally. And I have 3 children after that. So it amazes me, because when I asked God why, he said, "Because in your fear, you wouldn't trust me." Mm-hmm. He said, "Your greatest fear is being operated on." And so I had to let you know that even in that situation, I have this. I have you. You just have to trust me. And so I was like, "Well, did you really have to take me there?" So when I think about the darkness that we experience, that's just one story. I got a million of them. But God, in his awesome power, will meet us where we are and take us where he wants us to go. So this woman suffered. I just bled for a few hours, and I was near death. She bled for over 12 years. Mm-hmm. Over 12 years she was in this situation. She did what she thought she should do. She went to the doctor. She went to the doctor. She went to the doctor. But the doctors didn't have the answer. And in her brokenness, in her tiredness, in her giving up, she's no longer walking. She's crawling. She heard about Jesus, and no doubt it had been rumored about the same Jesus that she had heard about. He had healed the blind. He had raised the dead. It had been rumored that he was in the city in a place that they broke the roof and took a paralyzed man there so that he could heal them. This is the Jesus that she wanted, and she did the unthinkable. You have to be willing to do the unthinkable. You have to be willing to do the unthinkable. This woman had not gotten any better. And so she made a decision that would change her darkness. Since I have been here, the Lord has just been dealing with me, Davetta. You know, yesterday when you guys were checking in and we had already been here a day early, I was kind of like going over this. And I finished reading it and then I began to pray. And the Lord just showed me, he said, "You know, Davetta, your circumstances that you're in now, you have behaved as a godly woman. But you're just like your mother.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was the second part. That was part two. The mother part was part two. During this part, he said, you behave like a godly woman, but you're starting to be bitter. Not towards the people that the situation deals with, but you're starting to be bitter, even though you're handling it, because you're frustrated. Mm-hmm. And your frustration is causing bitterness. And I was like, really? Really, Lord? Not me. So the girl that I came up with, I said, Nikki, do I seem like I'm bitter? Because we had talked about some of the things, and she said, maybe a little bit. So then I called my husband. I texted another friend, and I didn't get an answer. They were busy. So then I called my husband. I said, honey, I said, God is so awesome, and blah, blah, blah. I said, you know, do you think that I have bitterness about our situation, about how all the things is going? He said, oh, yeah. I said, that's what God said. I said, I believed him, but I just wanted to know if other people saw it. And so I said, I'm not going to be bitter anymore. I said, I'm just going to wait for God to do it. And so that, I mean, I'm just like on the side of the bed praying and crying. And so last night, you know, we were supposed to do devotions. I didn't do my devotions because I really wanted God to finish doing what he was doing with me. I thought kind of he was done, so I watched Scandal after all of the commotion we had with Pastor Brian, and it was pretty good, too. Do you guys watch Scandal? Anyway, I watched it on my tablet, so. That Olivia is smart. Mm-hmm. I'm a fixer, too. Sometimes that's not good. But anyway, so I watched Scandal, and God didn't mind. But when I finished, she was like, okay, it's my turn. And so he just began to deal with me. And he goes, you're just like your mother. And, you know, that's kind of the thing that you usually hear from your father, right? You're just like your mother. She's a tough woman, and she didn't let people push her around. He said, but you are a godly woman, and you still handle it in a godly way, and you don't let people push you around. But I need you to do something different. You know, I guess he said, you got the bitterness thing. You repented of that and you're going on. He said, but you got to go this way. And I was like, okay, so what is it, Lord? What do you, you know, that's kind of like, what do you want me to do, Jesus? And so, you know, I'm thinking and I'm listening to what he's saying and I'm like, you're right, I am like her. But I think I'm a little more seasoned and I know Jesus. And so I try not to do the un-Jesus things that she did, even though sometimes they cross my mind, but I don't let them out my mind. And so it was kind of funny because then he said, you're like me too. And I said, yay. He said, when I was angry, I turned the tables over because I didn't like what they were doing. He said, and when people don't do what you want them to do because you know what I want them to do, mm-hmm. you get angry. Mm-hmm. Cut it out! And I'm like, I said, well, God, I'm doing so much better. I don't even say anything now. I just let them don't do it, and I don't say anything. But that's why the bitterness, it's not just not saying anything. And I said, okay. And I said, so what? And so and at this point, I'm crying because, you know, I was getting a spanking. But a lovingly one. My pants were up. And so when he began to just show me, and he was saying, you need to let go of so much and not, when it doesn't, you can't say it's okay when it's not done the way it should be done and say you're okay with it when on the inside it's just tearing you up. You can't say that. It's not working that way. And so as he began to minister to me, he said, this is what I need you to do. He said, I need you to lay down. And I said, okay. What do you mean? He said, I need you just to lay down, Davetta. You know, you don't let anybody walk over you. And you, so you stand up for yourself without even, you don't do this. But you stand up for yourself, just your presentation. You stand up for yourself. Nobody, they're not going to bother you. He said, but I need you to lay down and let me handle it. Mm-hmm. Lay down and let me fix it. Lay down so I can open the door. Lay down so you can reach for me, like the woman with the issue of blood. Mm-hmm. See, she could not do it on her feet. She had to do it in a laying position. She had to do it down. There's no way I can get the hem of her pants if I'm standing up. Mm-hmm. And she's standing up. There's no way I can get the hem of her garment. Mm-hmm. There's no way. She had to go down. She was broken. And he said, I just need you to just let me do it. You can't do it anymore. Because this is what you do. It doesn't work. Let me do it. Because I can work this situation out. You have been a strong woman. But that's not what I want. I want you to lay down. He said, I laid down at the end. I want you to do what I did at the end. I laid down my life. Mm-hmm. Lay your life down. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. But what I do know is I'm going to trust him. I know that I am a strong woman. I am like my mother. But I'm like my father. My Heavenly Father. And I desire to please him. I desire to see his plans come to pass. And if I want my darkness to have visible light, I have to lay down. You know, this was not even part of what I wrote down. This is what he said to me last night after scandal. You have to lay down, David. And you know, Jesus, at that point of laying his life down, he told those Roman soldiers, no man takes my life except I lay it down. He said, I could call on thousands of legions of angels, and I could be out of here in a flash. But he trusted his Father, and that's all we have to do. He trusted him. He said to me, and when I say I have 1,000 stories I could tell you, we just really quickly, and I know our time is probably spent. I see ladies with bags with glasses walking outside of the building. But we lost our home. We've been married coming up in June, 22 years. June, on our anniversary, 19 years, I was packing because we had lost our home. My husband's business went upside down, and we went for years. But a couple years before we lost our home, I remember looking out of in the backyard, because it was a beautiful home, completely gutted, completely redone, and we hadn't finished the backyard. And I was looking in the backyard, and I was thinking, we need to finish the backyard. And the Lord was like, you guys aren't going to be here. Mm-hmm. And
it's dark.
I was like, but Lord, we have so much work to do. We have things that we want to do. And he said, you're not going to be here. And I kept saying, but Lord, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then finally he said, Davetta, stop holding on so tightly to the things that you have now. Because I have things that I want to give you in the future. Mm-hmm. Let go of the present, so you can reach out for the future. And I was like, okay. And shortly after that, I was in the bathroom and I was looking in the mirror and I was looking at all the work that was done, because my husband's family's in construction and just nicely done. And I'm in the bathroom that I designed and I'm looking at everything and I'm thinking, there's a part of me, I don't want to leave anything put together here. If we're going to lose this, nobody else is going to lose. And the Lord he changed my heart there. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen on that day, but 2 weeks before we lost the home, that part of me was changed. But on this particular day, I'm looking in the mirror
And I'm looking back at the window treatment, and in my heart, I said, Lord, I said, I like this house for sentimental reasons. My father-in-law's heart and soul was in that mm-hmm. house. My husband's heart and soul. That house mm-hmm. was given to me for a Valentine's Day present before we ever moved into it. On Valentine's Day, my husband purchased that home without me even knowing about mm-hmm. it. That's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. But I was like, for sentimental reasons, I like this. I like this place. I said, but if you say we have to go, not my will, mm-hmm. but thy will be done. I said, if this cup could pass, Lord, but not my will, your will be done. And I'm looking in the mirror the whole time I'm saying that. And then I said, because I'm looking at myself like, who are you? And I said, God, you're going to have to get me ready because I cannot do it today. Mm-hmm. And it was probably two years later, no one in this world could believe that with the grace and dignity that we lost our home, that we were able to pack that home, that we were even given time. Nobody gets foreclosed on and is given 9 days to pack their house. Nobody I know. I mean, I know a lot of people who lost their homes. They had hours or a day or two, but certainly, thank you, but certainly not 9 days. That real estate agent was, he was a Christian, but he was so broken by us having to move out of the house, and he saw so much that he goes, you guys have so much stuff. And not like we just had a junky house. It was new. Everything was new. We hadn't lived there 5 years, but we just had so much, and God blessed us. And so the real estate agent just, he goes, I think you're going to need 2 days. But after 2 days, he goes, I think you're going to need more than 2 days. And then he told me, I was going up the stairs, and every morning he was letting us in the house. Mm-hmm. And he says to me, he goes, I have never done this. He said, I've given somebody a day, maybe at the most two. He said, and I do this. He said, I never have done this. He said, but I don't understand it. And I said, I do. It's just God. And before we left the house, we prayed for the family who would have it. And that just broke him way down. Mm-hmm. We prayed, and, you know, I remember my father-in-law being just broken afterwards, too, because we left the way God wanted us to leave. Mm-hmm. And 2.5 years later, we don't have another place. We stay with my in-laws. But we lost our church last month. Oh. And losing that home was us being a forerunner. Mm-hmm. I can't understand it. I don't know why. But I'm laying it down.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm just going to lay it down. And maybe next year I'll have a different testimony.
Praise God.
I don't know what it will be, but I know that God is in control. Yes. And all of this, He has helped me be a better me. He's helped me desire to lay it down. And when you lose everything, because even though he let us pack all of our stuff, do you know my husband sold our stuff? For little of nothing. Because we had so much storage. It was killing us. And my theme, and I'm going to let you guys go on this, we're going to pray, but we have beautiful chandeliers, and if you want to see them, I think I have them on my phone, but I won't do it. Absolutely the most beautiful chandeliers, and it's funny because I didn't know that I like elegant stuff, but when I went in this Lamps Plus, I ended up picking the most expensive chandeliers without even knowing it. And so then my mother-in-law came, and she liked those too. She has very good taste. And it was so funny because the guy in the store goes, you picked the most expensive thing in the store. So when I told my husband, he was like, oh no. And I said, well, I'll buy them myself if I have to, honey. I said, I really, really want them. And so when it was time, I told him, I said, the only thing
2 weeks before we lost the house, not knowing that we were going to lose it then, I said, you know what, honey, I wanted to take out our custom cabinets, take out everything. I didn't want to leave nothing in here, take out our granite, take out our hardwood. I didn't want to leave anything. And the Lord really dealt with me on that. I told him, you know, the only thing I really want my chandeliers. I said, I don't want to leave my chandeliers. And we had a purpose in our heart to change the lights out because I already knew. But do you know we didn't change them out because on the day that it happened, we weren't packed or anything. And but the guy, the Christian, he let us take our chandeliers. Mm-hmm. But I don't have my chandeliers. Mm. No, I'm gonna give you guys a real kick in the pants to the people who live in the house. They have my chandeliers. They have my window coverings. I mean, everything. They bought a lot of stuff from us, but they didn't want to pay what we paid for it. And that hurt me. That hurt me. But I'm even over that because it wouldn't have hurt me before. I would have told you, that hurt me, blah, 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 blah. But now I can say it humbly, it hurt me. But I know that was probably part of the stuff that I was supposed to be letting go of anyway. And so I love Jesus. And if I could say anything to you, I would say, you've got to lay it down, whatever it is. Because, see, there are certain things in all of our lives that we need to lay down. Mm-hmm. Maybe you haven't lost your home. Maybe the church wasn't foreclosed on that was too expensive and you guys couldn't afford. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't have that problem. But maybe you have a child that is giving you all kinds of grief. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a husband, and I love my husband. Like when I say that stuff, I can say that stuff and I know it's being recorded and I know it's a possibility that he may hear it. I love it. He's a keeper. He says that all the time when he preaches, so now it's on tape that I said he's a keeper. But whatever it is, you have been probably trying to do it yourself. Because we're do-it-yourselfers. We're strong women. We know everybody in the house could be sick, even us. But we're going to make sure dinner's still served, the clothes are still washed. The house may get a little dirty, but it's not going to be filthy. Because we are strong women. Women are made to bear burdens. But God is saying, you don't have to. Society made us that way. God wants us to bear his burden. His burden is easy. Mm-hmm. I think I said that backwards. No. Yes. Is his burden easy?
Yoke.
His yoke is easy. His yoke is light and his burden is light.
Yes.
I like that better. I'm just saying, that's what he has done for us. And we don't have to be the woman that's carrying the heavy load. We don't have to be the woman that's going to stand up and I ain't got time to take no mess from you. You know, we want to put our dukes up. Even if our hands are down, the dukes are up. Mm-hmm. And God is saying, you don't have to be that woman. You don't have to be the woman or that girl that has your dukes up. You can be the woman and the girl that he can fight your battles. But you got to lay down. You've got to be like him. We can't be like our strong mothers. Not all the way. We've got to be like him. Maybe whatever you're going through is a hard way. But just like it was for Jesus, he said, you know what? It's okay to tell God, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to go this way. But not my will. Thy will be done. God will bless you. He will bless you. He will bless you. And I didn't just find this out. I mean, I know all along that this is true, but yet and still I needed to lay down. He told me just last night, you need to lay down, dear brother. You're not dead. Lay down. You need to die a little more. Lay down. And so I just want to say, if you want to see Jesus in your darkness, die a little more. Lay down and reach for him. Just like the woman with the issue of blood.
She did the unthinkable. I've had to do the unthinkable. Mm-hmm. And believe you me, if I could have gone any other way, it's always a better way, but it's not God's way. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pray. Is there anyone who wants special prayer? Everybody wants free time. We're going to all pray and we're going to come. Tell me your name again.
Elma.
Mm-hmm. What's your special request?
Just for my son.
Your son, Daniel. Mm-hmm. Daniel, he's still heavy on her heart, so we really want God to lift her burden. Mm-hmm. We really want God to do that because there is no one else who can do it. You know, she can hear every other speaker here, but until God lifts the burden, it won't be lifted. Mm-hmm. But God wants to lift the burden. Mm-hmm. And he wants you just to lay it at his feet. Lay it down there. Mm-hmm. And he'll do it for you. Let's stand. Go work it. Mm-hmm. You could all just stretch your hands towards Elma. And me too. I want some.
Oh, now you want some prayer? I'll take some.
We're just gonna pray. Does anybody feel led to pray before? I don't have to pray. Is anybody feeling led to pray? Okay, you'll pray. Okay, thank you.
Father God, we come before you, Lord, and Lord, we just submit our hearts unto you, God, and we submit our will unto your will, God. Lord, I want to pray for Alma and her son, God. Yes. You know, God, exactly where he's at.
Yes.
Lord, he is not lost, God, because you know exactly where he's at, Lord. You know exactly what he's doing. Father God, I pray that you would just supernaturally send your angels around him, God.
Yes.
Tell him, God, free him from the grip of the enemy, God. I pray that in the name of Jesus, God, you would set him free. You would open up his eyes to see, God, just the angels that are looking out for him and just the love that his mother has for him, the love that his family and his friends have for him, Lord. And I ask, God, that you would deliver him from the yoke of bondage, God, that the enemy so easily just entangles him, man, God, and entices him. But, Lord God, I pray that you would draw her son, Daniel, back to you, that you would entice him, God, sweetly, and that you, God, would just draw him so close to you,
yes,
that
Lord,
he cannot resist it.
Yes.
That he would just know that there is a living God that has a perfect plan and a purpose for his life, God.
Thank you.
Yes. And God, I thank you for the things you're going to do, and I thank you for the praise report that we will hear, God. And
yes, Lord.
Father,
yes.
I look forward to hearing from it. And I also want to lift up the better, God. I thank you for the word spoken, God.
Yes.
Thank
yes,
you, God, for her obedience unto you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would just give her the supernatural strength that she needs to, God, that she would continue to submit unto you and lay down as far as she can go, Lord God, and that she would just know that you, God, are in control. And at those times, the flesh wants to come kicking and screaming back up and says, no, I want my way. God, I pray that she would just stomp it back down, and she would do a Holy Spirit just dance, you know, that she would rejoicing you,
yes,
God, knowing full well that you have good things to come for her and their church, God, and her husband. And
yes,
Father God, I thank you for healing her. I thank you, God, that you are going to meet their needs at your perfect time, God. And
yes,
we pray,
Jesus,
that in your perfect time and in your will, you would bless them with their own house, God.
Yes,
that you
would
get her chandeliers, Lord.
Yes.
God, that she would get all her desires and more according to your will, God. And that it would be far greater than she could have ever imagined.
Yes.
We thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And we pray you will bless him with the church as well.
Yes.
And that it'll just be something just so spectacular that people would come around and say, this is only of God. There's no other way but the Lord. God, we thank you for what you're going to continue to do. We thank you for your presence, God. We thank you for your love and just your grace and how much you love us. And how much you just fill us up every day with more of you, God. May we continue to submit unto you on a daily basis, God, and just fall so much in love with you, and that we would just listen to the voice of the Lord on a daily basis, God.
Yes.
And we ask this in your holy and precious name, Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.